live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind and know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone, and God bless you. I am Bishop Cook, and this is the Common Sense Files with Brother Rick Altman for this Friday, July the 1st, 2022. Hallelujah. We are just so glad that you have joined us all here on this evening. If you are listening via our chat rooms, we welcome you. If you are listening via the studio, we welcome you. If you are listening via Skype or your computers, we welcome all of you. And we want to thank you, because without you, the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network would not be one of the number one internet podcast networks on the internet today. So we thank you, and we want to say God bless you from all of us at Spirit Alive. Hallelujah. Tonight is going to be a really sort of a fun night, because I have received many questions about tonight, our highly esteemed commentator of Common Sense. So on tonight, we're just going to take some time, and we're going to let you truly get to know him in an up-close and personal way. You know, so we're going to kind of let him tell his story, his testimony on tonight. So sit back and relax and get ready to just listen to the man behind all of this wisdom and common sense, brother, my friend, hallelujah, Brother Rick Altman. But before we begin, I would also like to say good evening to his lovely wife, Sue, just as Dr. Phil always has Robin. Well, you know, Brother Rick always has Dr. Susie. So praise the Lord. We're going to just acknowledge her, because she's in the house on tonight. So we want to give her honor too. But we're going to start with Brother Rick. You know, you are, first of all, I just want to say to you as a friend, you are truly someone that you enjoy being in a familial relationship with. And I say familial because as brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have the blood of Jesus running through our DNA. So we have a wonderful familial relationship as brother and sister in Christ and as friends. And you make it very easy to be a friend, because you display things that only a good friend displays. That's honesty and integrity, and you display such wisdom, and you give such good counsel. So tonight we just want to look, inquiry minds would like to know, how'd you get this way? So so why don't you take us back? You know, let us go back. Paint us a picture. And let's start out with your childhood. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you grew up, where you grew up, and we'll just move on from there.
Well, sister, thank you for having me back. It's a real honor. And I don't know, maybe I've had the common sense beaten into me, but I started in a small town west of Chicago, about 50 miles west of Chicago in the early 50s, and a very small town. Everything about it was small town, and including the thinking, which I didn't realize at the time because I was just growing up. I was trying to understand stuff, but it was a town where the people referred to hillbillies the same way that bigots use the N-word. And I didn't get it.
Oh,
I didn't
my.
Understand. Yeah.
Yes.
And then later on, it's like, well, okay. I mean, you know, when you're little, you're trying to learn, and you try to learn what's right. But, you know, kids want to know what's right because they want to fit in, right? They want to be accepted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then the same group, family members included, started to complain about DPs. Displaced persons. Now, realize this is only 10 years after the end of the Second World War, And I'm going, no, and I was starting to learn history at that time. And I'm going, DPs, what's a DP? Well, that's a displaced person. And I said, you mean a person that was put out of their home because of the war? It's not their fault they're out of their home. And then they just looked at me like I was weird.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
So
of course.
I realized I started thinking at a young age, but the town was so white and so Protestant that the Lutheran, the Methodist, and the Presbyterian churches were all fine stone buildings, beautiful. And the Catholic church was out just one half a block outside the city limits and was an old wooden construct. And so it was pretty prejudiced there. And
right.
And I remember one day, I can't remember exactly, but early on I went to school, and my first name is Simon. And one of the teachers looks at me and she goes, oh, I see your name is Simon. Are you Jewish? I said, I don't know. Now, remember, this is the mid-50s, right?
Wow.
I go home and I ask my mom, and I said, Mom, my teacher asked me if we were Jewish because my name is Simon. Are we Jewish? No, 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 no.
Oh, wow. No, don't say that, son. Don't say that.
I know. And then, I mean, after, you know, a few years of that, in the late 50s, we moved to the San Francisco Bay Area. And there, for what it was, there was some, a little more development, a little more diversity, obviously, and, you know, a little more, I guess, a little more sophisticated, a little more developed people. And then following that, I had a school career where I went to 13 different schools. Parents shifted back and forth across the country, Illinois, California. I went to 13 different schools. I was always the new kid. I was always being picked on, okay? There was, I don't know, some prejudice against the new kid. I'm like, it was my fault, you know, that we were moving back and forth.
Right.
And I learned something about people then. I learned that I had to take care of myself because nobody was going to take care of myself. And I was getting picked on, and I was always being, you know, fights and, you know, kids trying to beat me up and everything. So I learned to box. And and I became good at it. And I learned, you know, that bullies, first of all, have a big mouth, but they can't throw a punch. And they can't take a punch either. And so that was how I sort of learned about the world, is, you know, going back and forth in 35 different schools in high school. Okay. And you learn a lot about people, the different kinds of people, especially when you're trading the Midwest, where you are now, with the Bay Area at that time, which was only at that time starting to develop. It was, you know, in the late 50s when a lot of the servicemen were returning from the Pacific War, transferred through California and turned around and came back. And it took my dad about, you know, 12, 13 years, you know, to decide that he wanted to do that and then get involved with the building of California. But in the meantime, you know, I got pushed around, shoved around, you know, everything you can think of. And it taught me how to defend myself. But it didn't teach me about people, because I still thought that people were generally good people. And to my mistake, I thought a lot of people thought the way I did. And even today, as you and I have discussed, you know, we try to do the best, and we're hoping that other people are, you know, think like us and share our same opinions about fairness and everything. And we've unfortunately found out that that's not true.
No,
So, you know, there was a deal. Served in the Air Force. I was a draft dodger. My draft number came up 30, so figuring I was going to be drafted, and I had some uncles in the Air Force, I went and joined the Air Force. So that's how I got the draft. And what was the funny thing about that was, I went over and I got sworn in, and my recruiter wanted me to get sworn in to the reserves, because, you know, they might draft me. Well, I think he was afraid I might, you know, change my mind, chicken out. Because, listen, in those days, in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of beer to drink and a lot of beach, to go to. But I went over and I got sworn in, and I came home, and this is a true story, Shirley. I opened up my mailbox, and the day I got sworn into the Air Force Reserve, 1 month before I went regular, in my mailbox was my draft notice.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So he was
okay.
So
you
he
being
was right.
Transparent.
There you go. So he was right, and then I ended up in the Strategic Air Command, and I put hydrogen bombs on B-52s. And then,
wow.
Of course, got bored with that. So volunteered to go to Southeast Asia. Okay, young guy, right? 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I volunteered to go to Southeast Asia. So I can say I'm a cold warrior and a hot warrior. I put hydrogen bombs
all
on
right.
B-52s, and I've been shot at by commies. So I've
oh,
done
my
both.
Goodness.
And then came back and just for I don't know a couple of decades. No, not about a decade and a half. Just absolutely out of control, despicable behavior. I mean, drinking and and all the stuff that was going on in the late 70s mm-hmm. and the early 80s, and I was there like everybody else was. And then at a certain point in the late 80s. I decided to get sober, and I did.
Praise
and
God.
That's when my
Amen.
Life changed. So I did that. I did that in my 30s, and so I got sober. And then I started to look around at some of the problems in the world, and I like looking at problems. Everything, I like to solve things,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, everything is like, well, how do we fix this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the VCR is not working. My computer won't log in. It won't do. I love that stuff because it's like,
mm-hmm.
finding a solution and making something work. And I started looking around and I thought, I didn't, like what was going on. So I got involved in politics and I ran a congressional campaign against Barbara Boxer here in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
And got involved with politics and I met a lot of people. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned about politicians. That they can talk to you, they can be looking you square in the face and telling you something, and they could actually honestly believe it, and then thank you, Shirlene, and then turn to the person next to them and say something completely different and still believe that.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I'm not making excuses for them. I mean, when we elect people to do a job, we want them to keep their promises, and we want them to do a job. And that job, involves the law in almost every case. But it's not easy, and
mm-hmm.
I tell you, I was a candidate. I was a candidate once, and and I went, and there were some people they had a different view on something that I had, and the way they expressed it to me was so sympathetic that I actually gave them the answer they wanted to hear. It wasn't my answer. I guess you could say I lied to them. And afterwards, I looked at myself, and I thought, no. You cannot do this, okay? I'm not made to be a politician where I can tell somebody a lie they want to hear. So that was the last time. But it's not easy because when you're dealing with a lot of people, you have – and, their needs are real and, and their desires are real. And in many cases, their knowledge, their intelligence, or their lack of knowledge is real. And so you're dealing with a whole different mixture of people. And so when I see these people in Washington on TV, I sort of get a sense of, what they're going through. Obviously, they want to, they want to continue their career in politics. But in many cases, you're in a position where you have to say stuff that you don't actually honestly believe. And so, I've dealt with everybody from U.S. senators down to city councilmen. And I think that's true. And I'm only half making an excuse for that. Because, you should be honorable and you should be able to keep, and we do have some people that we see that do keep to their principles, but it isn't easy. And I understand it. And it's one of the things that we're having to deal with now at a time in America, in Western civilization, where I think, if we're not at a fork in the road, we're at a crossroads, and we've got to make some decisions on how we want to proceed. And, so that's how, I got started and developed my attitudes and everything and having met a lot of people and, looking at things that needed to be done. But, pretty much, for 30 years was working on the immigration issue and, a lot of people, And I always remind people, look, America lets in 1 million legal immigrants a year, more than a million. Okay, they let in more than all the rest of the countries of the world added up. I'm not anti-immigrant. I'm anti-illegal immigrant. You want to come to my country, come here legally. And I think it's very important for the preservation of our culture, the preservation of our country. And our country right now is the backbone of Western civilization. Okay, and we see what's happening in Europe. It's kind of interesting to me that the Eastern Europeans seem to be a little more interested in freedom. Could that be because for two decades they didn't have any freedom when the Soviets controlled it?
Okay, there you go. I don't know. So, could be. I'm going to ask you because, you know, I, as I've mentioned your lovely wife earlier, you two are, you know, your dad, your father, and your husband. And, you know, what do you see? We have so many absentee fathers. We have so many fathers that are not involved as they should be. What can you tell some young fathers, some commonsensical things that you do so well that could help them to better maneuver? We know this is a Christian network. We know, of course, we want them to have a faith in God. But, you know, this is, people are not, they don't always, everybody is not saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled that listens to this network. And that's why I wanted you here, because, you know, you bring people solutions. Of course, it's based on the Ten Commandments, as you said. I know that's your code of ethics, and when they listen to you talk, they'll know that too. But what are some commonsensical things that some of these young men that you think that we can do to help these young men get back on the right track?
I understand, and I was very happy. In fact, I almost had tears in my eyes when you were playing the Michael Jackson song, The Man in the Mirror. Michael Jackson had many excellent songs, but that's my favorite. And the refrain for the audience that was listening is, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change.
Yeah.
And it is powerful. I think it's terrific. And so I think, first of all, we need to start with the appreciation of what we have. Now, some of us obviously have had it harder than others. I'm sorry we didn't all have it the same, but we still live in a society with its faults, naturally, but we still live in a society that we should be appreciative of. And you can, if you are a young father, you can help to make your child appreciative of the society in which we live. We need to appreciate it, because if you don't appreciate something, you kind of let it slip away. And
yeah.
Western civilization has been the best civilization in the history of the planet in the last 75 years, from the end of the Second World War until the end of 2020. Has been a fantastic time, and that's where, when we grew up, we're baby boomers, okay, and mm-hmm. that's when we grew up, but it's been a fantastic time. First of all, after the first half of the 20th century, which was a slaughterhouse, there weren't any major wars. There were small wars, naturally, but nothing compared to World War II or World War I, you know, with 100 million killed. So we've got that. They found a cure for diseases. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Childhood immunizations, penicillin, which it was actually some British students took over from Ian Fleming, but Britain was at war and they couldn't do anything, so they sent it over to America. The Americans made penicillin and used it on the battlefield. I mean, in the 50s, I was overdosed with penicillin. I think we all were.
Oh, my
but,
goodness.
You know,
oh,
we,
my
we,
goodness.
We had the cure for diseases. We started to generate so much food that we ended the a lot of the hunger, not completely, but a lot of the world hunger.
Right.
And then the economy started to go, and the baby boomers themselves were the drivers of the economy. I like to remind people, I think it was 1954, 55, the single biggest seller in the country was Davy Crockett Coonskin Caps. Because Fess Parker played Davy Crockett on Walt Disney. They were selling 5 million a year. Well, there were 10 million babies a year being born, and half of them were boys. So figure it out.
Yep, there you go.
But, so we created this economy, and the economy expanded, and so we got better health. We have a better economy, better standards of living, you know, better food and all of that stuff. And this was created by so many different people helping with, you know, in America, Western Europe, Western mm-hmm. civilization. And, you know, we need to help other countries and cultures also achieve that, but we need to preserve what we have. And so for
right.
those, you know, young fathers that are sitting there thinking of this, some of them are going, yeah, okay. And so what we need to do is then go to the children, and I would say the first thing you need to do is to get the children to appreciate what they have by comparing with the people who don't have. Or, you know,
right.
people currently and the people in the past who didn't have, and say, this is what we have. And it's good what we have, and we need to make it better. Okay,
yes.
obviously.
Yes.
But in our country,
to go.
And we do, but we also have the way to do it. And we also
yes.
have the right to do it, which is not true
yes.
in many countries and many cultures. So
that's right.
So all of these things, but it's all for the good. I'm sure a lot of these young fathers may be feeling guilty when they see what's going on and everything and don't know where to start. And you mentioned the Ten Commandments. I think that's an excellent place to start. But, you know, appreciation for what we have and then building on that so you can possibly, maybe you run for office and you can help to try to make that change that you think needs to be made, you know.
Yeah.
And
yes.
This is something that everybody has to be involved in. It can't just be, you know, a certain class of people, you know, the upper class, the mega billionaires that are making all this money. Okay, that creates also an economy that the rest of us can enjoy, but we need to, you know, preserve it and then work to make it better. And I'm afraid,
yeah.
unfortunately, with what we're seeing is an attempt by certain political factions to continue to keep us divided. Okay.
Right.
Divide us by race, divide us by gender, divide us by income, everything that you can do, because as you know, the oldest military tactic in the in history, right? Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
And, you know, united we stand and divided we fall, and we need to be united in America as American citizens. We need to treat each other with respect and then start with that appreciation and then work to maintain what we have and then, you know, take the next step. Okay. Let's not
yeah.
give up any more yardage. Okay.
Now,
let's continue to push forward.
What I want to say is that because I have had longer conversations, longer than we can have here tonight with Brother Rick, you know, this man, he believes that we can love does conquer. He believes in integrity. He believes in honesty. He believes in God. He believes that we all need to have representation at the table. And one of the reasons that I'm so blessed that he's here with us as a commentator on the Spirit Alive Network is because he represents diversity. He represents a different point of view where people can perhaps be reached. Because my thing is this: God is concerned about the whole man. And what he's saying is we need to come together. We need to stop all this black and white and this and that. And first and foremost, know that we're Americans, okay? We're Americans. And we have to love, first and foremost, love ourselves, love one another, and stand together and allow people to, voices to be heard across the board. For I actually had Brother Rick, I actually had people inbox me when they heard you on another program with the men of Spirit Alive, and they were like, well, Bishop, who is he, and where did he come from? And I'm like, he's my brother, and he lives in California.
Yeah.
With the rest of my family, you know. And but, you know, it's a shame that we have to have conversations like that in 2020. Why can't you just be my brother? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's on the Spirit Alive Network.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Why do I have to even have a commentary about who you are and where you came from? And is he taking over the network? No, he's not.
I haven't been informed of that yet.
No, you know what? And I'm going to tell, let me just tell you right now, you're not going to be informed of that at any time, okay? Because your people might run a lot of stuff, but Spirit Alive is not going to be one of them. Praise God.
Understood.
No. Okay, I'm just keeping it real up around here. But, you know, it's good that you can, you know, you want people to think for themselves. And what I like, a lot of the times when we have our conversations, you know, you've always been so clear. I'm not anti-black. I'm not anti-this, anti-that. I just, you know, what I love most what you said is I just want us to have people working together to make it better for us all. I don't care what color they are.
It's the only way that works.
And that's what we need to get to in this country.
I have a lot of sayings that I've made up, and I hope I don't bore people with them. But, you know, one of them is, I want everybody to have access to the starting line. I do not want the government to carry anybody across the finish line. Okay?
No.
That's a situation that'll develop the best that we have. And then we can all benefit from that. And but I think, and going back to the Young Fathers again, you know, as in the Ten Commandments, you know, the honoring the father and the mother is about holding the family unit together, because the family unit is very important to, you know, the civilization, to the culture. Okay. And part of that, holding it together without having other matters kind of distract you, I think, is self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And working. And, you know, the father can, you know, have the take the child and, you know, set goals, help them set goals, help them to achieve their goals and earn the kind of self-esteem, the healthy self-esteem that one gets from accomplishing a goal. And then, and in many cases, and I tell this, you know, I have friends, and when their kids would go off to basic training when they're going in the military, and I would tell them, the one thing that you're going to find out is that what you thought was your limit isn't your limit, that you can actually go further than that. That is what you're going to learn in basic training. One of the things, and that is one of the things that you can help when you're helping the children to set their goals and then to accomplish their goals. And I think maybe that also, you know, helps with the appreciation part of it too. But you can set that goal, you accomplish that goal, and then you look around and you look around for another goal. You know, get on the road. You know, maybe there's something down the road. Maybe there's a fork in the road that you wouldn't have seen had you not been on the road to begin with. And so, gives you your choice.
I get it. And I totally agree with you, because it seems like young people in general, they don't have a value or appreciation of what they have. You know, they're a very entitled group of people.
I think that's partly human nature, and I think it's partly the doing of the parents, and I won't say the fault of the parents. I mean, our parents, again, they suffered through the Great Depression, they sacrificed during the Second World War, And they didn't want us to have it as tough as they had. That's a very, you know, that's a very normal, I think, parental thing. I don't want my kid to suffer the way I did. Well, okay,
right.
That's good, but let's not remove all the challenges. However, after the Second World War and with the vast expansion that took place, you know, none of us had it as tough as our parents had it. And, but with that, and now we're two or three, you know, the second, third, fourth generation on from the Second World War generation that actually remember loss and sacrifice and everything. I think it's very much like human nature to maybe not notice, not appreciate, you know, take for granted what we have. And this comes back to the appreciation thing, and it comes back to the adults explaining to the children why you need to have it. And again, I think a lot of that is human nature to just think, well, heck, you know, and then of course my parents don't want me to have it as bad as I've got it. Okay. Again,
that's
a
true.
Normal,
they're but they're not teaching the responsibility and the accountability that goes along with it. And that's where we as parents fall short. We have to, of course, we don't want our children to have it as bad as we did, as, you know, as bad as we did. But in doing that, we forgot to remind, you know, to teach them those values, those God core values. That, you know, they will have a healthy, you know, they'll be driven, have a healthy drive and want to accomplish and do things. But we, because we have, we cannot fall short, like, as you said, as young fathers, especially to be first of all, to be present. Second of all, to be the leaders in your family and to guide your children and to help them set goals and to help them keep goals and you know, and to not make excuses, you know? No, we understand the playing field has not always been fair. We are not, neither one of us is saying racism does not exist. We are not saying there's inequality being displayed amongst the people. But when it comes to God, we're all equal, okay? So, you know, and so we have to understand we can't keep using the same excuses to not come up and come forth to do the things of God and to do the things that will help us to help each other. Now, you know, you also have a beautiful marriage. I just love your wife. You are, like I said, you're one of the most beautiful couples I know. Tell me, but you just spoke to the young man. Speak to the young husbands now. Look, how you do that? Look, I'm going to unmute Sister Susan now because she's on, cause just in case she need to amen or put her 2 cents worth in on this one. So, look, y'all have a beautiful marriage. How you do that?
I think we do it with tolerance. Oh, by the way, we have a wedding anniversary coming up on the 4th of July. So,
well, happy anniversary, my brother.
Thank
my
you.
Sister.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's understanding. It's, you know, it's an adult point of view. It's, you know, mutual respect. It's, you know, realizing that things aren't always going to be perfect. And because nothing is perfect, right? And just, you know, a mutual respect and, you know, a caring for each other. And it just seems pretty, you know, just seems to come normally. I don't know what else to say.
Amen.
I don't know what else to say. It just comes, you know, like that. We respect each other. Well, we respect each other and, you know, I'm interested in, you know, what the other person has to say and, you know, and it's enjoyable to have a conversation. And let me put it this way, to have a conversation with somebody that you may not agree on the issue, on the point of view, but that's okay. I mean, I want to hear not only, you know, what you think. I want to know why you think it, you know?
Right.
And I was in a group of people one day, and two guys were in an argument. One guy had written a book, and he basically believed in the goodness, that people were basically good.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy worked at San Quentin, and he thought people were basically bad. And they had this big argument, and it blew up. And they were of the same political point of view, too, and they both left. Well, I didn't say anything, and the other people that were there who knew me said, well, Rick, you didn't say anything about it. I said, look, I like argument when it begins the conversation. I don't like it when it ends the conversation. The argument is, I want to know why you think what you think. Why do you think it? Okay? Because if I'm wrong and I hear an idea that I like, well, then I'll adopt it. I'm not so addicted to my own belief system that I'm not going to let something that's obviously true, you know, it's staring me in the face. I'm not going to deny it. At least I hope I'm not.
Yes. Well,
again,
right,
human nature.
I know that's right.
But,
I really like your point of view. You know, you got to keep the communication, good communication. You got to care about what the other person, how the other person feels, what they think. But I bet you if I were to ask Miss Sue, she would tell me she prays a lot for you. Sister Susan, your mic is live and you are on the air. Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Oh, well, I'm praying for him right now.
Okay.
Boy's praying for him. How are you doing, Shalene?
Hi, my dear sister. I'm blessed, honey.
It's always so great hearing you, and I love the conversations that you two have together. Thank you for having Rick on. I think I told you this before. I benefit from him all the time. Any chance he can share with other people, I'm so happy when he does, because he really is a fountain of common sense.
That's it. He really is.
Yeah, it's great. It's great benefiting, you know, from him. I've learned so much from Rick, and he's been he's my rock. And
praise God
for sure.
Praise God, my dear sister.
Thank you, too.
I mean it. You are truly a beautiful couple. And thanks to God, when you watch them interact, it's just so, it just makes you smile. You know, I was married for almost 30 years. And I love my husband, and they remind me of my husband and I. Who making all that noise over there, boy? But it reminds me of that, and it's just good to see two loving people that work so well together. And so, you know, like she said, you are a wealth of common sense. I like the fact that you are a man of God. You are you're not a preacher, but you are a godly man, and you and it's, you know, and you know that by the way you live, by the way you carry yourself. And if there's anybody else there, we do have a Spirit Alive family and Love Connection family in the house. If anybody wants to have a word, Brother Rick a word of encouragement, because, you know, it's one thing to be on CNN and Fox News and all that good stuff like that, but it's another when you're talking to Christians. It's a different venue. It's a different feel. And I just want to say to you, Brother Rick, you are doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal. I thank you.
But if anybody else
wants to chime in, you're more than welcome. Is that you, Dr. Susan? Anybody else have a comment or a question? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, once again, I want to thank you, Brother Rick, for, like I said, if anybody in the studio has a comment or question, if you would kindly press your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you are in our chat rooms, you can type your question, and I will ask Brother Rick. Brother Rick, we do have a couple of questions from the chat room. We have Mary, and she is in Pensacola. And she just wanted to let you know that it was nice hearing she said you took her back. Thank you. And she enjoyed your program. She enjoyed your talk. So we want to thank you, Miss Mary, Sister Mary.
Thank you,
Mary. Down there in Pensacola, we want to thank you. And then we have Terrence in Bakersfield, California. He wants to know, he said, did you see a difference in the way servicemen were treated when they returned from the war? Did you see a difference in the way black servicemen and white servicemen were treated when they returned from the war? That's what he wants to know.
Well, from the Vietnam War, I think everyone was treated at least with indifference, if not with some contempt. But I will tell you something. At the end of the Second World War, in the South, many of the soldiers, white and black, the white soldiers would go into restaurants with their black comrades, and they were told, no, he can't come in here. And the white soldiers, oh, no, he served with us. He's eaten with us. And I always like that story. I always like that story because it's a story about people who put aside the differences. They found something that united them. Nothing unites you, like fighting for your life. But I heard that many times, and that was one of the things that started that helped, with the desegregation and everything. But the white servicemen said, no, wrong. They served with us. He served with us. He's eaten with us. Okay, and I always liked that because you could tell then that there were
a change was coming.
The change was coming, and we would hope that it wouldn't be a situation where you're both hunkered down in a dugout getting shelled by the enemy that would bring you together. Let's move beyond that, and let's use our common sense and accept people, for who they are, and see what you have in common. I think prejudice is probably also a human emotion, and because I think fear in nature is like number one, okay?
Right.
Because that's what's going to preserve you. So anything that's different from you, you may have a tendency to fear it. So again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying,
right.
Where does it come from? But, but we have an intellect. We're in the 21st century. We have an intellect. We can overcome the prejudices that have been built into us. Okay, but common sense, with fairness, with interest, and with love, and with that kind of thing. And so, but no, Vietnam, no, I didn't notice any difference. We were all treated, indifference,
pretty contempt. That's how it was. But question. Thank you for your question, Terrence. People think we shrug away from the hard questions, but we address them head on because until we address them, covering them up, smoothing them over, that doesn't change anything. Until we meet things head on, with God first, common sense second. See, we call people of intellect say it's common sense. People of faith say it's discernment. And one, but both of them are given by God. So we have to understand, we've got to put God first. We've got to love one another as he says we should love one another. We should strive to have everybody at the table. I've heard, these are all things that I've heard Brother Rick say and that I agree with. I think we all should put, like you said, instead of looking at our differences, we should be looking at what we have in common, what we can do together, and we should create new commonalities. If we don't have something in common, let's get together and start something new. Then we'll have that in common.
Well, at least we have the culture in common. You know,
yeah, we have
the
culture in common. So, you know,
right.
if you can't get together on your on you know, for intellect's sake, do it for the Lord, because the Lord is saying, love one another as I first loved you, and by this they will know you're my disciples. And but with that love, you just can't be lovers of yourself and not be lovers of anybody else. You've got to think about your brother. Well, no matter the color, you need to think about your sister. You know, you need to think, how can we need to get up in the morning saying, what can I do to make the world better? Not just my world, but the world better. How can I help to raise the standards? How can I help show forth the love of God so that people will come together, have a heart change, have a mind change, have an action change? Those are the things that we need to be looking at. And I just want to thank you, my brother, for thinking as you do, believing as you do, because, you know, a lot of people, if you look at things, whether you were raised after during the first, second World War, Vietnam War, if you are a millennium, or you are a baby boomer, the God's truth is always God's truth, and it stands. You know, love has stood. Unity has stood. Integrity, honesty. You know, these things will always stand because they are commanded by the word of God. So they're not going anywhere. So we shouldn't be afraid to walk in them with one another. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out and listening to my brother and just lifting him up. And I appreciate my brother Rick. You know, this is a new Christian broadcast. It's a new venue for him. But like I said, my brother, you are doing a beautiful job. And we will look forward to discussing in depth the Ten Commandments. And the moral code of the Ten Commandments. We have both been reading a book, and we are going to be bringing you excerpts from this book, and we're going to be discussing this book. It is entitled The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code by Dennis Prager. So if any of you would like to get that book and study along with us, you are more than welcome to, but we're gonna talk about the Ten Commandments and it being still the best moral code, still the best way to live, and we pray that you will continue to join us here on the Common Sense Files. So on behalf of myself, our commentator of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman, Sister Susan Altman, and all of our Spirit Alive family that are present, we just want to say thank you for listening. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed 4th of July weekend. We want to once again say happy anniversary to the Altmans. We pray that you have a beautiful and blessed anniversary on the 4th. And to all of you, it is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it's our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, my
God
brother. I love
you.
God bless you, dear.